Russia turns away flights for avoiding Belarus airspace. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Russia has denied entry to two European airlines because they plan to avoid flying over Belarus to get to Moscow. It comes ahead of a summit between the Russian and Belarusian presidents later today amid a growing standoff with the West over Belarus's decision to force a passenger flight to land in Minsk instead of its intended destination of Vilnius. When it landed, Belarusian activist Roman Protasevich and his girlfriend, who were on board, were arrested. The BBC's Bethany Bell reports now from Vienna.
Austrian Airlines said it had to cancel a flight to Moscow from Vienna after the Russian authorities rejected its new flight plan to avoid Belarusian airspace. The airline had suspended flights over Belarus in line with EU recommendations. In a statement, the Austrian Foreign Ministry said Russia's reaction was incomprehensible and disproportionate, and all flights to the country should be able to continue without problems.
That was the BBC's Bethany Bell. A quick look at the markets. France's economy has slipped into recession. However, European markets are encouragingly all in positive territory. Trading relations between Australia and China have become rhetorical and shrill, according to the former Australian Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. Speaking to the BBC's Asia business correspondent, Karishma Vaswani, he called for the international community to unite when it comes to tackling those tricky issues with the world's second largest economy.
This comes against the backdrop of relations between Australia and China having reached their lowest point in recent decades. And Vishala, you know, it's things like Australia scrapping agreements tied to China's massive infrastructure project, the Belt and Road Initiative. Australia also banned the Chinese telecommunications firm Huawei from building its 5G network. But I think it was really the call from Australia for an investigation into the origins of the coronavirus that set off a new storm. China's retaliated, placing sanctions on lots of Australian imports, including wine, beef, lobster and barley.
And Karishma, he spoke to you about how countries should unite in their approach to tackle those sort of sticky issues that they have with China.
Yeah, you know, he talked about the fact that the risk for countries going it alone with China, as Australia in a sense has, is that China can place some pretty strict or harsh punishments that will affect that economic relationship. And you're kind of held hostage to China.
The fact that China doesn't like something doesn't necessarily mean the rest of us shouldn't do it. That is not to say that you go and pick a fight with China every day of the week. What I'm saying more broadly is it's far better, for example, on human rights or on questions of global economic governance, on trade governance. It's far better to bring multiple voices around the table together on that. You're more likely to, as it were, leverage a different response from Beijing.
His advice is, look, don't go it alone and work together to go up against China.
Karishma Vaswani, BBC's Asia correspondent in Singapore. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vishala.
There's been intensified diplomatic activity in recent weeks as the government of Ethiopia continues to build a huge new hydroelectric dam on the Blue Nile, despite complaints from Sudan and Egypt. The governments in Cairo and Khartoum say they need a new international agreement to control the waters of the Nile, and they've turned to the US for support. Fergus Nicol reports now on a project that's raised anxieties about a new water war in the Horn of Africa.
This song by the performer Teddy Afro is a musical expression of national pride in the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. The lyrics combine a refusal to give in to foreign threats and a firm belief that the dam is good for Ethiopia, a belief shared by water resources experts.
It is a game changer. 65, 66 million people of Ethiopia are without light. That will change.
Dr. Trussor Asifa, born in Ethiopia, is now based in Tampa, Florida. He's convinced that it's a truly national project.
There is a unanimous support for this project. It will be a $5 billion project, and that's quite a bit for a developing country like Ethiopia.
But there is considerable anxiety downstream, with Sudan and Egypt both calling for a new binding treaty on water sharing. President Biden has now engaged with the problem by sending a new US envoy to the region. David Shin, himself a former US ambassador to Ethiopia, now at George Washington University, thinks American aspirations are modest.
I think the United States sees that the African Union not only is in the lead on this, but will remain in the lead. So the United States position is going to be something of a supporting one.
The Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam isn't the first major construction on the Nile. Far from it. Egypt has the Aswan High Dam. Sudan has four big dams of its own. But Professor Aris Georgakakos of Georgia Tech thinks Ethiopia's project should be positive for all the nations involved.
This is an asset. It's a very important regional asset. Ethiopia does not have anything to lose if they collaborate and they agree to a regional way of regulating the dam. On the other hand, Egypt and Sudan must be convinced that there's no intention that Ethiopia could use the dam to weaponize it and use it for malicious purposes. If that can be bridged, there's a very viable and clear path forward.
That path forward, though, still needs clear signposts, and the arguments continue. I'm the BBC's Fergus Nicol for Marketplace.
Fascinating report. Remember, if you've missed any of our shows, check out marketplace.org. They're all there. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathamer with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.